Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
You know what'll bring us back to our spirits is brand new Irish music for you this morning. I'm going to bring it to you. George Houston is a name. Get used to the name George Houston. And his voice, it is kind of very hard to describe. It will linger and it'll stay with you. It kind of carries the salt air of Inishowen, the big huck up there at the top of the land, and it feels kind of very intimate as well. He's just 24 years of age. He's from Donegal, of course, and he's shaped a very special place for himself in this new music scene that's completely his own. The new album is called The Original Death Card. That's a name that'll make us sit up and pay attention. It is steeped in fury and his dreams as well. And he's here. That's who you can hear chortling in the background. He's here and he's going to play a song live for us. Welcome, George, first of all. We'll have a chat later on.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to play Lilith.
Yes.
Beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're introducing you to many people. There are fans growing around the world.
Hello.
Let's musically introduce yourself now.
Okay,
51551 is the text. Live in studio.
Writing only hits, played softly from their fingertips, bringing punk back, some angels dress in black, singing in a skirt and a hoodie, it's an oldie but a goodie. Bringing punk back, some angels dress in black. Lord, why would you try to kill Lilith, Lord? Why would you try to kill? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you try to kill Lilith? Blood drawn from the strings, they scream in songs and sing what's on the minds of us demons, cause we are all so filthy. Pardon from the Garden of Eden, corruption's fine when you turn blind eyes to us demons, cause we were all born filthy. Lord, why would you try to kill Lilith? Lord, why would you try to kill? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you try to kill Lilith? Lilith doth protest too much for God, God doth know best. Bringing punk back, some angels dress in black. A pardon from the Garden of Eden, on holy land they'll never stand. Bringing punk back, some angels dress in black. Lord, why would you try to kill Lilith? Lord, why would you try to kill? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you try to? Lord, why would you kill from their fingertips, bringing punk back, some angels dress in black.
It's incredible what one man with a guitar can do to the central nervous system. That's extraordinary. I'm glad I said your age now, because that is a voice that sounds very lived in.
Thank you.
For a 24-year-old going down to those depths. We'll find out where it came from, George Houston, right after this break. Well, he has shared stages with Paul Weller. He's filled festival tents across Ireland and stepped on to later with Jules Holland to perform his mesmeric tunes. We just heard one live in studio because he's with us. George Houston, welcome.
Thank you.
I love your voice. I love your name, first of all. And that's a real name. It's not a stage name you've invented.
It's actually, I'm not the first. There's my granda was called George Houston. My great granda was called George Houston. And there's a few cousins and uncles as well. So, yeah, I'm one of many.
Unusual for a young lad in their 20s to be called George.
Yeah, my parents are strange, I suppose.
well, I don't know. Don't you go. But George Hughes, it does sound like an old school movie thing, and that kind of suits, isn't it? Because you're an old soul.
Yeah, a bit of nostalgia about me. I don't know.
Nostalgia for a time you wouldn't remember, obviously, because you love the kind of old music. And
Well, when I was growing up, my parents, they have a big collection of vinyl and CDs. So I wasn't actually exposed to much modern media in the grand scale of things. So that may be where I get more of my influences.
Who else is at home? What was life like growing up?
I have two siblings and my parents, and we were all, you know, encouraged to play music. And yeah, I think we're quite out in the country as well. So you had entertain yourself with a guitar instead of a friend sometimes.
There are multiple talents in the house, aren't they? What do your siblings do?
Yeah, we're all very music oriented. My sister's studying music at Queen's, and my brother, he's a doctor, but he's also a brilliant trad musician on the fiddle and kind of anything with four strings. And he records his own music, Jack Houston. Shout out to Jack.
Dr. Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
He's a trad playing doctor. Literally, I've never heard of that before. He's a star waiting to happen as well.
It's an underrepresented field.
It was your dad who went with you, wasn't it, on how long was this tour in America?
It was literally a year ago. It was all of September last year. And we went from, where was it? We did the whole East Coast and then up along Canada and in the middle and then all down the West Coast. So it was madness.
Was he doing the driving and you were?
Yeah, was too expensive to get me insured in the car. And I was so excited to go, and because I love driving. I think it clears my mind, that
I think
kind of thing.
It's a Donegal thing.
And then when we got there, we realized that we just couldn't afford for both of us to get insured. So yeah, Daddy was driving the whole way. To his dismay, I suppose, but it was a lot of fun.
But it was a significant thing for you, wasn't it? Because who were you supporting on this tour?
I was supporting Mr. Paul Weller, known for The Jam and for the Style Council, and of course he's got brilliant solo career as well. So it was
the Mod Father himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And Camille, when Paul Weller came knocking and asked you, "Will you support me on my American tour?" Did you know much about him at the time, given your age and youth?
I knew, we would have had The Jam and his solo albums, and I was very familiar with his songs. It took me a minute when I was given the offer for America. It was like Paul Weller, and then I went to my parents and I was like, Paul Weller, and they were like,
they went crazy.
Yeah. And then they were saying, oh, he writes West, they were listening to the songs, and then it clicked with me.
How did he find you?
The last album I put out before, I put out one out this summer, but I put one out 2 years ago now. It was called Vehicular Suicide. And one of the songs in the album went viral for me. It wasn't like millions and millions of streams, but one of the music videos, we were dressed up as priests and we were smoking in this abandoned church, kind of like a Father Ted bit.
I've seen it, yeah.
And yeah, he's seen it and he liked it.
He saw that, okay.
He must have really liked it.
He really liked it because, I mean, he's toured everywhere around the world. I'm sure he's very picky about his support acts.
Hopefully. To make myself up.
Did you chat in advance of the tour, or how was there a kind of a meeting? How does it, what happens next?
Well, he has a friend from Derry, and that was kind of, he was the go-between.
Very good, yeah.
So it was all very mysterious until we actually met on the tour.
And the tour itself, obviously some of the amazing venues in America, really historic ones as well. Tell us about those.
Completely pinch me moments, like getting to stand on the same stage. Like every one of my idols and musicians that I'd ever look up to, I'm very, very lucky to say that I've played the same stages as them. One of them being the Fillmore, and that was that's in San Francisco. And the last album I put out, because it was all very 60s, 70s themed, I was delighted that I could get like a Live at the Fillmore version of one of the songs on the album.
Oh my God, yes.
Which is kind of what a lot of people did back in the day.
The Fillmore, it was Summer of Love, 60s territory, wasn't it? Jimi Hendrix and now George Houston.
Exactly.
Live at Fillmore. Was there a Minneapolis one where Prince was known?
What was it called? But yeah, Prince had this, like he founded this theater in Minneapolis, and it's actually one of the most popular venues because when people are going from east to west, there's not as many options of venues to stop in the middle of the country. So loads and loads of people, like just anyone that you could think of, like did a stop in the middle.
Yeah. What a great opportunity, though, because you'll be put in front of audiences who didn't know your work. Was it terrifying?
I suppose it was. No, it was.
No,
just amazing. It was so exciting, like too excited to be terrified, I suppose.
What kind of reaction did you get?
Well, some of the crowds were more like boisterous and like they were having a drink. So you just lean into that and maybe play a country song and get people singing along.
But that's clever.
A few of the venues, you could hear a pin drop, and it was just, I really appreciated Paul Weller's audiences.
They were serious.
He's got good taste in audiences.
Serious musos came along. Mm. By the way, what's your go-to country song to get a crowd going?
I've got a song called Creature of the Night. I don't know if you know the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wrote my own version of that song that's in the musical called Creature of the Night. But I wanted to reimagine the Creature of the Night during the morning. And he's not so glamorous and sensual anymore. So it's, I've got a little sing-along chorus for that song.
Whimsical country. Mm. That'll get them going. I notice all the songs have various dark themes and macabre. You must be into horror films or something. Or horror stories.
Big time. I always, I wanted to be a director growing up. I love special effects makeup and puppetry, and that's what got me into music, actually. I'm a big Jim Henson fan, like The Muppets. And there's a film in, Labyrinth, David Bowie
was in.
And then I got into David Bowie through that. So, I'm a big film, what's it called, nerd.
Yeah, you're a film buff. Was that your entry to music, seeing David Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie was the first person
in Labyrinth.
What
was the character? Do you remember the character he plays?
He's called Jared, and he's like this goblin king, and he's wearing really tight shorts. And, bit of a sexual awakening as well.
Was it really?
Yeah, David Bowie's, he's dreamy.
Also the epitome of cool.
Mm, exactly.
And when you were a kid, because you're of the Gen Z variety, feel the need to come out, did you?
Not really. I suppose I didn't want to come out more in spite of the world, because I was always of the opinion that, queer children aren't born into closets. They're built up around them by whether it's their parents or their schools or just like their religions, their society in general. So I always resented that from a young age. And I was like, I'm just going to show up one day with my boyfriend at home. And that's what I did. That was my version of...
There wasn't an eye blinked or anything?
No. If there was, they'd know about it.
He's a fan of David Bowie in Labyrinth.
Yeah, running around in dresses.
They'd know about it.
They know.
Yes, you're no shrinking violet.
No, not me.
But at school you felt, I'm not going to come out to these guys.
No. I don't see... There was, I think, people in... I'd say rural Ireland, it's just Ireland in general. They seem to be of the opinion that when people say 1 in 10 people are queer or gay or bi, they think it's just a light suggestion. But there were so many people from my school who never came out, and I don't know why they would, because the ones that did just got bullied. So I don't see any...
And I find that amazing because, of course, you were a teenager during the equal marriage referendum, where we had a very cuddly atmosphere afterwards.
There was some...
Quite before.
I remember some heated debates in classrooms from different students, and, they kind of gave their parents' opinions, and it was...
And they're entitled to have their views as well.
Indeed.
As you say, you have loads of confidence going around the place. You're now in... A young lad in his 20s with his dad in a car touring around America. Did you learn a lot about each other?
I'm a better navigator. I don't know.
Rouse about directions.
Oh, yeah. directions was a nightmare. And the biggest nightmare was, because you're on the other side of the road, I kept pushing my foot down, expecting the brake to be there. So it's just like phantom,
oh my God,
phantom driver. I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting. But
what kind of tunes do you put on when you're traveling around with your dad?
Everything and anything. And we had so much time to go through everything and anything.
Yeah.
I really couldn't pinpoint one thing. Really everything.
You must get along very well though, for that.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
work.
Oh, I definitely. Yeah.
Is he musical as well?
He is musical. Like, he didn't learn instruments or anything when he was younger, but he's always singing. Always singing.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Without any shame.
No.
Is he George as well, by the way?
No, he's not. Oh. Skipped a generation. My uncle is George. But yeah, I'm keeping the tradition.
It wasn't
going.
Too confusing when you showed up in theatre.
No, exactly.
With two Georges. But you got along with each other. Did he have to give up work, or did he have to give up something in order to go around with you? It's a sacrifice for Dad too.
I suppose just I was working overtime beforehand to get the time off of work.
Go away.
Yeah, so I very much appreciate it. It's like no small feat to drive across America.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was very big feat.
But all that support is very important.
Yes, definitely.
What are your kind of hopes when you were on that tour? What were you expecting to happen next?
I don't know. Like, I wasn't, I actually, that's not true. I was expecting like something to happen because like you're playing in front of so many people. But it's never like that. There's never like you wake up one morning and you're successful. It's just
you have to keep working.
Yeah, even with the tour, everything has been gradual, and which I think is more rewarding. It's not just like quick or cheap thrills. It's meaningful and it's hard earned and it's gradual.
You keep working away.
Mm. Yeah.
Back to the music. You've described it as sad music for people with humor as a defense mechanism. Mm. What's that about?
I don't know. It is what it says on the tin, I suppose. Like, I think it's like I have a lot of angry songs and a lot of sad songs and a lot of, you know, they're not always positive, but I tend to be a bit of a people pleaser. And I think that just like that comes off in my lyrics and my music. And I throw in a little sarcastic joke in every now and then.
What are you angry about?
I'm angry about everything. No, I don't know. It just depends on the song. Like, there's all different kinds of... I sing about anything, honestly. Like, the first album I put out was called Cold Toast, so I do sing about anything. It just depends what kind of a bad mood I'm in the morning.
You reference the Catholic religion a lot in your songs.
Yes.
Why is that a particular focus of ire for you?
Well, I had a lot... Like, obviously, an album is a playlist. So I had all these different songs, and I noticed that there was a theme of sinner versus saint, that kind of dynamic between, like, I had songs about queer love and divine femininity, and then I had these other songs, on the other hand, that were about the Catholic Church and oppression and, you know, society not liking divine femininity and queer love. So I wanted to have an album and a collection of songs together that... We're kind of addressing that. And yeah, in this last album I put out, a few of those songs were about the church and oppression. And, you know, it's just all those different topics.
I'd say kind of people might be a bit surprised that, you know, someone who grew up at least a decade after the church in Ireland really lost its power on every facet of society, that you'd be angry about it in 2025.
I suppose a big part of it, though, is like I don't learn about queer communities or queer history through my parents. I don't learn about it through Princess and Prince's films and happy endings. I learn it from elder gay men in the community and elder lesbians in the community. Like, that's my point of reference for what society is.
As an old soul, you get along with the older people, so you're hearing what they went through.
Yeah, so like, trauma is intergenerational. It's not a quick fix, I suppose. And of course, homophobic parents have homophobic children, and that's who you're integrating with in school. So like we're in an excellent position, but that doesn't mean to say we can't go a little further and aim for better for the next generations.
And besides all that, you still have a great affection for the Catholic religion as a faith.
Yeah, like I would never want to take people's personal faiths away from them. It's not a criticism of their beliefs or anything. And, you know, like all the traditions like baptism and Christian, or what is it called? Communions and what's it called?
All the traditions and the sacraments of Catholicism.
I'm well out of practice. I forget all the terms.
You love all those traditions, don't you?
But like, I think they're beautiful, and like it's nice to have that connection with like people that came before you as well, doing the same things.
Your voice would work very well in a church.
Oh, I've been there, done that.
The deconsecrated ones?
I was in the choir all my childhood, so like,
very
literally been there, done
that's
that.
What, that's what you learned. The album, it's the original Death card. That's a reference to a tarot card.
Yes, because it's all kind of religious themed, I wanted to play on, paganism and people's own personal spiritual beliefs like astrology and tarot. And yeah, each song in the album correlates to a tarot card, and has its own imagery. And yeah, it's
the cover is you in a sort of a hearse, isn't it? And
because the death card is this knight kind of coming in on a horse, and I thought, well, I'll like make a modern version of that.
I presume you've seen the film Harold and Maude. From the 70s, have you not? About teenager obsessed with death, and they go to the gay crash funerals and so on. It reminded me of that, actually.
That's on my list then.
That's
that
on your
good.
List for sure. Now, as any aspiring musician, particularly in Ireland, wants to get that moment on Later with Jules Holland, you got that moment. What was it like?
I was, just very exciting. it's such a thrill. It was so amazing to not only to perform and watch everyone else perform, but to see the setup and the crew and all the camera people. And they're so well choreographed moving around this room, because like all the bands are situated in a circle.
Yeah, I love the cameras and cameras in that show.
Yeah, and they're just turning around. And yeah, it was amazing to watch the production, actually, of it all.
That's your kind of film head operating with the play music. Remind people what you wore, because that was very striking.
Oh, thank you. I was wearing my sparkly black outfit, and I got my angel's wing out because I was singing that same song, actually, about the dark angels.
That's very good. Yeah. And Lilith is about protest, isn't it? And
yes.
That dark angel.
It's in tribute to like the protest singers of the world. I don't know if you're familiar with a band from Derry called Tramp, but the lead singer, Shanna Lafferty, I seen them singing live, and just all of these lyrics were coming to mind. So I was very inspired by the brave work of Shanna and their protest singing.
It's all about protest singing at the moment. That seems to be the thing.
It's got
to
be.
What's next for you now?
Next is the tour of the album. I'm going all across Ireland and all across the UK, and a lot of shows are sold out, excitingly.
Very good.
So that's happening in October and November.
So that's October. You better tell us. Oh, George Houston Arts is the best place to get you, isn't it?
Yes. Tickets are for sale on George Houston Arts
and your
all
Dublin
social
gig,
media.
Which people, all the musos, obviously love to go to Whelan's.
I'll be just across the road. Actually, I don't know how close Whelan's is to here. But but yeah, I'll be in Whelan's in October, just before Halloween. So it'll be spooky season.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Being my element.
It's like you're ticking off all the things, you know, that you kind of want to do in your dreams.
Yes,
As a young fella in Burt, in County Donegal, you've probably already gone further than you ever imagined as a kid.
Aye, like This September, actually, I don't know what date it is, but on the 18th of September, I'll be 5 years into doing music. So
really?
I wouldn't believe the things that I've done if you told me 5 years ago. So yeah, very, very grateful.
And you're still releasing the music independently?
Yes, I am. It's just handy. It's nice to have some control over yourself. But yeah, it's nice to support independent artists, I suppose.
If you're ever stuck trying to get to Whelan's, your dad will drive you down.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You can listen for free.
George Houston, as you say, is playing gigs in the coming weeks in Donegal, Derry, Dublin and across England as well.
Yes.
And tickets still available for Whelan's Dublin. That's in late October, as he says, the best place to go. Instagram, look up George Houston Arts and you will see things that will inspire the next crowd. George Houston, good luck with everything.
Thank you, Oliver.
And we'll chat to you when you reach the next big moment in your career.
Brilliant. Sounds good.
51551 for your text. There's some coming in. Paul Weller has just recorded Black is the Colour, and he plays it sometimes when he performs it in Ireland. He's a fantastic, hardworking artist. Your guest, George Houston, is blessed to attract his attention. Yes, it's doing great stuff for him.